right. Welcome, everybody, to the Rink Podcast, episode 37. Puff, 37. You got anyone for me?
I do not.
You don't have anyone for 37?
No. Okay. I don't. No. Not a very common number.
Any sport?
No, 37. Seven's not a very common number.
Any reference to 37? Nothing. Okay.
Well,
that's okay. 1937. Well, do you have anything that happened that year you can reference? No.
It wasn't even the Great War.
You can't even. All right, let's just move past it. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. Today we have a great interview, the one that we've been waiting for, with a referee, a GTHL referee.
And I have to say, it lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
I was like, it's going to be super exciting to have a referee. And this couldn't have gone any better. He was fantastic.
Yeah, so we had Abu Hafaji, and he was amazing. He was he's been in the G for a long time. He was a ref ever since he was a little guy at 14. He said he started. He said he's around 29 now, so that's a long time he's been reffing. Before that, doing the time clock and all that stuff. So with that, let's go to our interview with Abu Hafaji, who was great, and we'll hear all about his time as a ref. Welcome. Today we have a special guest joining us, someone who's no stranger to the rink, but often seen in a different light as a referee. Our guest is deeply immersed in the world of hockey, not just on the ice, but off it as well, contributing to a variety of community initiatives and organizations. From navigating the intensity of the GTHL games to fostering diversity and inclusion within the sport, our guest wears many hats centered around the love of hockey. So without any further ado, please welcome Abu Hafaji. Welcome, Abu. Thanks for coming.
No, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
Big podcast fan in general. So
good.
Should be on one.
Not so hopefully this is in your roster of podcasts now.
It is ever since you reached out to me. Yes,
good. That's our new strategy to get listeners. We just interview everybody.
Reach out to everyone.
A thousand interviews a year.
Exactly. Well, we're really happy to have you on the pod today. We've been joking all season that we really need to get a ref on. And so it's great to have been connected with you. So thanks, Rob Granstein, who connected us. Really appreciate it, because we got a few questions we got want to ask you just about being a ref in the G. So hopefully that's okay. Well, but
I'll get ahead of it. We hate all ref. We hate all ref. We don't like you guys. We hate it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the standard in that referee room. But before we jump into it, can you just tell us about your journey into becoming a ref? What inspired you to become a ref? And then, you know, join the GTHL.
I actually became a ref at a very young age. I was a bit of a rink rat growing up. I played for the Scarborough Sabres. If you guys know what that, like, they don't exist no more. So all my East End people know, they used to be in the SHA, one of our six organizations.
Okay.
They amalgamated into the Ice Raiders.
Okay.
The Ice Raiders was an amalgamation of all the East End teams. And I was on the Scarborough Sabres. We had our own single A loop, similar to the MHL. In Scarborough, right. And I just lived at our rink. Scarborough Village was our home rink, which I believe the EastEnders home rink.
EastEnders, it's one of our home rinks, yeah.
One of your six home rinks.
Yeah, I know, we're bounced around.
Yeah, so I was like at the rink a lot. I think we had practice our A team had practice right before, right after the house league. And one day I was waiting for like my dad to come pick me up. Like, he dropped me off and picked me up. And they didn't need a timekeeper, so I like sat at the timekeeper. And then my dad came, and my dad was all upset, like, why aren't you outside, kind of thing. This was maybe, what, 2004 or 5. Like, obviously, I didn't have a cell phone. I'm 9 years old, 10 years old. And he comes inside. He sees me timekeeping. And then the referee, who at the time, Ron Parkinson, who was the referee / supervisor assigner, said, yeah, he's timekeeping. I'll drop him off at home after, kind of thing. And I said, oh, he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. It was a simpler time. Much simpler time.
Much simpler time, yeah.
Yeah, and then I time kept. They're paying me $5 a game cash. And you got a free hot chocolate every shift. That was kind of like the game.
Wow. Nice.
So I did it. And then I kind of every week after my practice, when they had the games, I just kind of stuck around. It was kind of, it became my schedule. And I think I did that for about like 2-3 years. I might've been like 12, 13. And then when you're 14, you're old enough to become a ref. I think the summer of grade 9, summer of grade.
Yeah,
grade
I think you're right there. Yep.
Yeah. So then basically Ron just told my dad, hey, why doesn't he ref? And my dad, like, sure, why not? Like, you know, kind of thing. And at that time, the SHA folded, I believe, that same year. And my dad's like, I'm not driving around the GTHL. Like, we're not doing that because we were so spoiled with our East End league.
Yeah.
So a lot of the kids kind of just went to house league. And then I went back to house league and I just started refereeing like house league, whatever, with the Sabres. And then when the Sabres folded the next year, 2 years after, whatnot, and they became the Ice Raiders, I kind of started refereeing the Ice Raiders organization. And then along the way there, I kind of became too old or too cool to timekeep. You know? And then I just started refereeing with the Ice Raiders. I refereed the Ice Raiders for probably like 15 years now. I don't ref with them no more. I haven't ref with them for 2 years or so. But yeah, I would say from like when I was probably 16 up until 27, I'm 29 now. So.
Right. So note to self, my retirement plan of becoming a timekeeper is not cool anymore. That's not a cool role.
It's all like little young kids.
Okay.
And normally it's parents who get their kids into timekeeping.
Yeah.
But like a lot of coaches come back and like, so one of the coaches, I believe he's an Ice Raider U15AA coach. Puffy, you might know him.
Okay.
Randy, he's got a big biker beard. Ice Raider.
Okay, yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
You can't miss him. He recently retired from his day job, and he joined our, like, he's a ref now. And we see it all the time. Retired, like, coaches whose teams are kind of, like, go through the, or your kids move away from home or whatever. They come back and they ref. So we have a bunch of guys who coached, and then they come back to ref.
That's going to be Puffy. Refs
who stop refing, coach, and come back.
That's definitely my plan, because the average age of the GTHL refs feels like it's about 75 right now. So I figure I feel like I have a few years.
I'm honestly trying.
You're dragging it down.
No, I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to change. Like, I teach the course. So, yeah, like, to go back to that. So I was reffing at the Ice Raiders. And then at the time, there was more of, like, a graduation system. So the Ice Raiders, Rob Brown, who's the coordinator of the Ice Raiders, and he kind of said, oh, yeah, you're good enough to go to the NYHL. And then you would do your time in the NYHL and then climb to the GTHL.
Oh, nice.
That's kind of how it worked in the East End for the most part. All the East End guys, even I know a couple guys who are in the OHL now who kind of went through that same ringer, house league, NYHL, GTHL, OHL. So it's like I did the NYHL for about 3-4 years and then GT now. I've been in the GT for probably like 8 years now.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there a huge difference between NYHL and GTHL as far as coaches, parents, intensity?
Yes and no. So I would say, like, obviously the skill level is drastically different. But we always say amongst refs, the coaches and the select group are a little crazier. It's not to say that the skill level's like lower. Obviously it's lower, but like house league skill levels, or the coaches are great in house league. Mm-hmm. A lot of senior refs like myself or whatnot would like go do their own home house league for 20 years. Like, okay, yeah. Sunday nights I do North Toronto House League. I do Leaside House League. Like, you know, they kind of have their spots.
Right.
I get asked every year, like, Abu, can you do the Wednesday night U19 or U18 House League at Scarborough Ice Raiders, you know? So the House League's great because it's kind of got that family mentality. But I would say the select loop is, like, well, the younger ages, they're way too intense.
Yes.
I'm sure, I don't know if your kids played, like, select U9.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in it now. I have one in it now.
Yeah, yeah. And are they in CDS or select?
Well, CDS. Yeah.
Yeah, CDS. Yeah. Okay. So CDS is a little different, but the select loop, especially in the West End, those teams, we all know, I'm not going to say the names.
Duffield. Vaughn.
I meant like the tier one team because they're thinking 5 years ahead. Oh, and you're like, and for me as a ref, like, I'm at, what's that, Marina? Pleasant View on like a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know, and like they're thinking about, I don't know, like York Hamlin, 9 a.m. on 2 years from now as the Vaughn Kings. They already have that mentality. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, like we're all 6 years old. Like we're 7 years old, we're 8 years old. I have 5 games tonight. And your game one, just tone it down. Like your kids are still sick. They're still picking their boogers. Right?
Yeah.
It's that. And so select kind of got both sides of the spectrum. And then the older ages, you have the like people drop down. Mm-hmm. The AA, AAA, not too many AAA, but you'll see it every now and then, and they just don't care because they understand, like, I could be here, like, the level's up here, but we're all the way down here. So, like, I'm too good for this. I'm sure you see it on your team, too. There's guys who played AAA last year and came back to AA to single A, and they're like, I'm too cool for this. And then they don't care, which is, like, the other problem with select.
Oh, I know there's a...
So you can't get out of control. the games are so short.
Right.
It's so like, if you're a good ref, you could kind of like just keep it kind of tight and not let it get to that point of absolute chaos.
There's a lot of control that you have on those games for sure. You can feel it. Yeah. You have to.
There's 32 minutes. Like 32 minutes is, well, that's what it was when I think they extended it, but it was 10, 10, 12.
Right.
Yeah.
Stop time. So like if you're a star player even or whatnot, you're like, how many, you're on there for 10 minutes of a game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so if you penalize the same player a couple of times, he's really out of the game.
Yeah.
Whereas in GT, like it's 15, 15, 15, right? That's an extra 15 minutes, almost 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the GTHL, I don't mind. Like some people, like I know some people think that the level of hockey, like we all want to do triple A or whatnot. I don't mind the single A, double A. Mm-hmm. I think my worst divisions to ref would be like the older age U16, 17 single A.
Because why is that? They're
too fast to not be playing contact.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Like it's that in between where it's like, is that a body check? Are they closing people off? Like, gee, you're what, like your son's what, U15A?
Yeah, that's right. That's what my son will be, U16A next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of times where, like, even as a parent or a coach, you're like, ooh, that's a body check. But you're like, what else do you do in that situation? Is that a
body check? Right, you're coming in the corner.
You're teaching your players to rub them out of the corner. And then it's like, rub them out. But I've been going to the gym every day of the week, and I'm 40 pounds. And also puberty.
Right.
Like you have kids that are like way up here and then other kids that are way down here, right?
Well, it's true because we have a kid on our team that I think kind of gets...
Well, coach's son, right? What's his name?
No, not him. We have another kid. Yeah, he's a tiny guy. But on the other end, we have some tall kids and some bigger kids that are... And they seem to get all the penalties, even though, like, they're not really penalties. Well, we don't... As parents of the team, we don't feel like they're penalties all the time.
And even as a ref, sometimes you're like, ooh. And then, like, the coach is losing their shit. And then, I'll go over to my partner. I'm like... Hey, did you have a body check there? Or like, even if I'm the ref, I'm like, hey, did you see that? Like, they just collided, right? Like,
right.
Like I said, they're going way too fast. It's also like these smaller barns, like Ted Reeve.
That's the smaller one. Yeah.
It's just a bit smaller. It's just small enough to feel like you're always in the way and they're always in the way. They're always colliding. So that's like, and then like the double A and triple A, it is what it is, you know?
It is.
Skill level
is
great. Yeah. The BS is less.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges you face as a referee in the GE, particular dealing with the passionate parents, coaches, and or players?
One, I don't deal with the parents that much. I always joke amongst other refs, I said, if you're yelling at parents or parents are yelling at you, chances are you're probably not doing the greatest job. You're going to get a little bit, you'll get the boo, or come on, you called three on them. It happens.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Like when I call three on the same team, like it is what it is. You know, like I'm not, you know, we're guilty of it too,
just so you know.
Yeah, we don't play that game where I'm like, oh, I called three on Ted Reeve, I gotta call three on EastEnders, right? But I also know when I call that fourth on Ted Reeve rather than EastEnders, like the parents are gonna be giving it to me, right?
For sure.
And it's like you have to understand, like, okay, like nobody likes you. Right, like nobody, unless you're giving out penalty shots every game, nobody likes you. There's no winning.
Yeah.
So once you get over the fact of like, okay, they're always gonna be aggressive parents, aggressive coaches. As long as you call the game right at the end of the game, they're gonna be like, I like to think I have a good rapport with the coaches, so they know like, okay, if I give five penalties to one team, and the penalties are 5-1, they kind of know at the end of the day, like, oh, Abu didn't screw us over. We had a crap game. Abu calls an honest game.
Yeah.
As long as you can look back to it and kind of go to like, okay, like Abu calls an honest game. But they're also me, like, I don't know if you've seen me at the rink, I'm always smiling. I'm always like, I'm kind of happy-go-lucky. Like, you know, like when I'm at Ted Reeve on Tuesday nights and the music playing, I'm singing the music along with like, you know. So like, I don't really take it that personally, but some refs do take it personally. Like, and I can, right? Like I'm a human, right? So when a player gets you, if you let it get you, then it's like, it's kind of game over, right?
Definitely. For sure.
It's a lose-lose situation, right? Coach is mad. If I'm mad, if I'm giving it to a coach is giving it to me, right? And we're not supposed to, right? We're not. We're the law, right? Think about your teachers, your employers at work, right? We're kind of the law. So if we lose our cool, how would you expect other people to react, right? So, like the coaches and the players never give it to us. Like, the players know because in the end, they serve the penalties. So the players will give their 1-2, and you kind of like, oh, come on. Like, you know, they might say an expletive here or there, but it's never, it's kind of like, they know. they know, especially like in the, that's a good thing, but the double A, triple A loop, you see these kids all the time because like I said, the reffing pool shrinks in the double A loop, in the triple A loop, it gets smaller.
Right.
So they kind of know you enough to like, they know if you're going to, if they're going to give you the gears, you're going to see them 2 weeks ago next, like, you know, and you're not going to get the benefit of doubt or whatnot. Right. So even the coaches know like, oh man, I've had a boo 4 times this year, like, you know, or in the last 6 weeks or whatever. I'm not going to bother. It's not worth it for, and you know, like, obviously, like I said, we're humans. Right. So like, if you keep giving it to me every time, I'm going to come to the rink like, oh my God, I got G again, you know, yeah. Or I got Puffy. This guy's always on me. Right.
Yeah.
So I think, especially at the, I would say the older ages is a bit of that mutual respect, right? Like, I'm not going to give it to you. You're not going to give it to me, kind of thing. We're going to have that. And then sometimes like, he's like, I'm sure you're like, that was horrible. Right. And you come up to me and I always say like, hey, listen, like, this is what I saw.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry you didn't see it like that, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you could.
You have to stand your ground and just move on.
Stand your ground, right?
Yeah.
Now, Abu, pretty much most of the rinks now have like cameras with live barn. Do you ever go back and check to see when someone's give, like when coach is saying like that you missed that call? Do you ever check to see if you actually missed it, or is it as soon as that game's over, you've completely forgotten what happened?
So our, I don't know his official title, but he runs our Hockey Canada officiating program, like our development, GTHL referee development. Okay. Matt Thompson, who is amazing, right? He's a very technical ref and Dr. Matt Thompson, sorry. He's going to hate me that I didn't say that. But like at the end of the year, he puts together these clips of like for learning. So like if you came and took the referee course, which I teach now, and every year I kind of go and he sent me the course material beforehand and I'm kind of going through them and I see the clips of head contact or whatnot. And it's from a live barn feed. Sometimes he does go out and record himself and this and that, but it's from a live barn feed. And you'll like, you know, you'll see the clip once and I'll pause and I have the answers on the notes in the corner, but I'll see it like, well, okay, stick to the head. Okay, go. What did the referee call? Right. And I see it's someone else. Let's just say it's Puffy, right? For example.
Yeah.
And I see Puffy's name. I've ref with Puffy for 15 years. I'm like, hopefully he got it right. Right. Like, yeah. Hopefully he made this call. And we all know, like all us instructors, because normally a senior group of guys, we all kind of know each other. And we don't want, nobody wants to be in the video.
Right. 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 Like, no one wants to be the example.
So like, I don't have personal, so we'll see it. And then after like, it'd be a learning experience. Okay. The referee called this, that, but a lot of times like Matt's great. Well, he'll cut the clip before the call is made or not made, you know, like just to see the action. And then it'd be like, what would you call here? Right. It's actually a game show. Part of the course we call it, you make the call. That's the game. So like, but like also I know some people who have live barn or I know supervisors do and they'll go back and watch it. Me, it's water off the duck's back. Like, I know if it's egregious enough and, like, you complain to the GTHL and the GTHL, like, actually, or you, a lot of times, say, like, you know, like, it's your son or your team, someone gets injured, no call on the play. If you send the video to the GTHL does have a process where they look at these videos and whatnot, and then they'll call me in for a hearing.
Right.
Based off, like, if it's clear video evidence of, like, okay, dude, you missed this big slash to the hand, player's out 6 weeks, broken hand. Right. Because, we are guilty.
Yeah.
But I would say like 9 times out of 10, am I going home and being like, oh, like, what did I miss today? Like, no way.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No,
but guys do 100% guys who are in their own head.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, oh, the coach is really on me about that. I'm like, a player has to be stretchered off with no penalty for me to like go out of my way,
be like,
call someone, give me a live
for it to happen.
I need to see this. Like, did I completely botch this?
I did the coaching course a couple years ago, and they kind of gave the coaches, I wouldn't say the riot act, but they were really honest about the way we handled our bench. And if we spoke improperly to our own players or obviously the other team's players, the referees were going to come down on us and could, you know, give us penalties or kick us out.
Yeah, maltreatment.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of coaches acting irresponsibly and the referees haven't done anything. And
this can get me in trouble like, with the GT.
I don't want to get in trouble, but just like,
Is
the GTHL give you like, are you guys empowered enough by the GTHL to actually, or is it not? Because it's escalating a situation if you actually, you know, were to penalize that. And is it something that's just not worth it for the referees?
So just like we get the same riot act. We get the other side. If you see it, like if you see something, say something. You guys take the TDC, right?
Yes.
That's a beeper. If you see something, say something, right? We get that. And as an instructor, you know, like maltreatment, these are the codes. Make sure you call it right. Abuse of a player, verbal abuse, physical abuse, threatening of abuse, whatnot, right? So we get the exact same riot act. Now, I think the issue is, like some people feel out of line, right? Like this is your bench. You're the coach.
Yeah.
Now, is that right? No. Because obviously people in the past have abused that power of as coaches, as, you know, as parents, even maybe your own kid, right? So we do have complete power. If I see someone, you know, F-bombing their 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm 100%. And the league has given us also enough power and the go-ahead. Like, if you do kick someone out for, we got your back. Like we got your back.
Right, you feel supported there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, they told us this, right? Now, like the thing is about people calling it, right? And a lot of times, like the one thing that I see with refs is also that power dynamic, right? Where the coaches have power, two coaches have power, and I have power. There's a power struggle, the power triangle between me and the two coaches, right? They don't like each other. They don't like me, right? So what ends up happening is, the other thing that people don't realize is the coaches are intense people a lot of times, and some refs just aren't intense people.
Yes.
So when a coach is kind of, and I'm sure you see a ref and they're a young kid and they just don't have the confidence yet in life, like, you know, life experience, because it's kind of like, I'm 19, he's an adult, he or she's an adult, but we're equals. If not, I'm the superior, but I'm a 22-year-old kid, you know. And you're a 56-year-old ex-NHLer.
Yeah.
Right? And there is a little bit of that intimidation where you're like, oh. And it's also like, this is your house. The bench is your house. You didn't say it to me. I'm fine. Right? It's a little bit of that. Now, we're supposed to 100% call it. Right? It goes to, even with the gross misconduct for like racial slurs or whatnot, you hear it, you call it. Right? And I think it's a matter of time. Like, it's been what? I think about a year or maybe two seasons now. So I'm sure every year we're going to work on that because we have our target points at the start, just like you said, at the coaches clinic. They kind of really ream down on that. It's one of our big talking points about like maltreatment. I would say it's like about 45 minutes out of a 3-hour course is maltreatment.
Really? Yeah.
You know, and about this guy, and we talk about scenarios. We talk about, like, we give out little like cue cards and say, okay, G, if you have a scenario where you're the linesman, you're a young rookie linesman, you're the back official, you're standing outside their bench, and you hear the coach swearing at their player. The player is 9 years old, and you feel like it's not warranted, obviously. What do you do? And as a linesman, you go tell the ref, and then the ref would come over back. Like, we talk about these situations and how to diffuse them, how to handle them, right? But like you said, if the coach is dropping those, like, the abuse toward the 9-year-old, how are they going to act to me?
Right. It's not going to be a smooth.
No, a lot of times it's gone beyond the point of like help. and it's sad. Like, if I always say like this, like, it's pathetic.
Right.
It's truly pathetic.
Yeah,
right?
Sad.
Like, that I have to come over to like adult to adult and say, listen, you cannot talk to kids like this, or you cannot treat these younger human beings as insufficient. Like, we're all like kind of equal. Yes, you're the mentor, you're the coach, but we're all equals, right?
Right.
So we 100% have the power, and now it's individually how you carry out that power, right?
I manage it.
It's like jaywalking, right? We're not allowed to do it. Everyone does it. Yeah. Are the cops going to use their power to pull over every person jaywalking, right?
Yeah.
It's just like that. It's illegal. It's 100% illegal, but we have to start calling it. Like, and that's everyone, right?
Yep.
So I know you are one of the head of, you know, you teach the program on how to be a ref. I think you actually taught my son this past fall. Ozzy is his name. I know he was at McGregor for a couple of days there.
I would have been there.
Yeah. What advice would you give? You know, we have a lot of listeners that are young kids or players now that are listening. And if they're thinking about getting into refereeing, do you have any advice for them?
yeah, be confident. Like, be confident. Like, we always talk about it. Sell the call, right? You know, everyone loves Wes McCauley. He sells the call hard, yeah. Right? So, like, something so simple, like a nice, clean wave off, a nice, crisp. And then when you're talking to adults, because your son is a kid, he's 15 years old, right? He's a minor, right? So when you have to talk to adults, you have to realize, and it's hard to teach a kid, like a child, that you're even, you know, you're at the same level as the adults who are your dad's friends or your grandparents' friends, like, you know, and they're mad at you and they're yelling at you all the time. So I always, like, I always tell young referees, hey, don't let them talk to you like that. Like, if you're the referee, you dictate the conversation, right? So I whenever I'm with young referees, maybe it's like the teacher in me that I'm always telling them, I said, hey, like, be confident. Hey, you waved off that goal. That's fine. I have no problem. It might've went top shelf. It went top shelf. You didn't see it go top shelf. You're the boss, you know? You're the boss. You didn't see it go top shelf, so it didn't go top shelf, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you, in the end, your call is what matters, right? So you're going to go over to that coach when he's yelling at you or whatnot, and you're going to say, ref, I was in, as long as you're in position. If you're at the blue line and saying you didn't go in, whatever. But say, hey, ref, I was in position. I was at home base, and I didn't, you know, and the puck didn't cross the line. I was right there. I didn't see it. I'm sorry that you saw it. And but if you go over there and be like, because it is scary, right? You're 14 years old. The ref's up here on this, coach is on the bench and looking down on you and completely, he's already spitting at you.
Right.
Right. It is very intimidating. So I always say, stay confident. You are equal, right? You're you and everyone here, you have the most authority actually, right?
Yeah. You made the call, stand behind it.
Stand behind your call, right?
Got it.
Or trust your partner too.
Right.
So like, remember we're a team. We always say like, we're a team out there, right?
Yeah.
We say in a referee course, there's three teams on the ice, not two. Like we're a team too, right? So yeah, we always talk about backing up ourselves. And I don't know if you guys notice it as coaches, but like whenever someone comes over to talk to you, there's two people, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's one guy talking, one guy's like backup.
Yeah.
You know, like he's my muscle here, right? And that's kind of what it is, right? So say I'm getting into a heated argument with you, Puffy, about some offside call that my linesman missed, and I'm a referee in a three-man system. And now I'm getting heated, right? My linesman would pull out my jersey or something, say, hey, like, let's go, let's defuse the situation. Or even step in sometime and say, okay, that's enough. Let's, you know, you've said your piece, right? And you kind of have that teamwork, right? So trust your partners, ask your partners for help. Hey, I didn't see that. Then did you see that? If whenever you look at the referees talking between periods, yeah, sometimes it's about dinner or whatever going out after, or like wife and kids. But a lot of times it's like, hey, did you see that penalty in the first? Like, what did you? I thought I saw this here. Oh man, this team's really chippy. Watch them. They watch the stick work. We are a team, and a lot of times young players they don't recognize that there's refs even on the floor. So when they come as a ref, they think, oh yeah, offside, goal, no goal.
Yeah.
Right? So use your team and be confident.
What advice would you have for coaches in dealing with referees as far as how to speak to referees? Like, what is the best way to, because sometimes it feels like you have to sort of, the loudest person in the room gets the most attention sometimes, you know?
You're going to laugh at me, but I'm going to say, treat others how you want to be treated. Like, it seems so simple, right? Like, it seems so simple, right? And like, I would always say, like, when you're the most heated, right? Like I said, missed goal call, went top shelf, everyone saw it, right? And I didn't see it. I call no goal. Hopefully, I never do that. But, you know, like, you're going to be yelling at the top of your lungs, you know, up and down, Don cheering me on the bench, right? Yeah. And I'm like, a lot of times, I'm sure you see it, the ref doesn't come over. Like, I'm not even going to come talk to you right now.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, if you want to have a conversation with someone, if you're that livid, and I'm coming over, and I'm going to get attacked, like you're just attacking me, right? How did you not see that? You're not going to say, oh, what did you see there? Oh, why didn't you call that a goal? No one. So this, if you're going to come yell at me, like, and that's the only reason I'm coming over, like we're skating over, the whole rink's watching me skate to you, and then you give it to me.
Yeah.
Like, how's that interaction supposed to go? If you come at me with
Puffy, what do you think? How, as a coach?
I mean, Tanya is way better at this talking. She's very good at talking to the refs.
She's great.
Where I definitely I get excited.
no, honestly though, like if you're gonna come at someone with a negative attitude, right off the, whether I'm right or wrong doesn't matter, right? Because remember what I just said, yes. I want to be confident in my call. The reason why I'm not calling it, because I clearly think it was not a call.
Yeah.
So if you're coming at me just like you're crap at your job, because that's what you're saying when you what it is, right? You're not good at what you're doing right now. So like yeah. I'm gonna tell you that you did this wrong. I'm gonna tell you you did this wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, for example, you have 35 games. It's one game, one goal. Right? Like you're on the ice, 35 games, 40 practices, 70 hours. Like
yeah.
The stakes are never that high. Like never.
No.
To disrespect another adult to that level. Like obviously you're going to get heated, that's fine. Like but you have to understand like especially for me, I referee like well now I don't, but I used to referee say 10 15 games a week sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, for how many weeks? I would do like 300 games a year. Like you're just a blip on the radar. Like, you know, yeah. like literally. So I'm coming over like, okay, yeah, let's see what this guy wants to say, right? And then, and I know you're angry. But, and I'm going there to appease you. A lot of times you're going over
yeah.
to calm the situation down, right? Like, because,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm not just skating over to say what's up in the middle of the third when I called a penalty to put your team down with 2 minutes left. I'm coming over because you're absolutely livid and I told you I'd come over next whistle. And it's four whistles away from now. And I'm like, okay, I'll go over now. You seem to calm down enough. But the second you start raising your voice at me, I'm like, why did I even come here? I have the ability to skate
away. For sure. So, but say it's like, okay, so just for instance, it's a high stick goes in, like a high stick deflects a puck in. It's clearly a high stick, but you missed it. No problem.
Okay.
And you come over and you're explaining that, you know, that you didn't see the high stick. And but he got a high stick, you know, like you did miss that call. Like, I don't like, is okay. that going to help my chance? Or if I'm like, you missed that call, Abu, what are you doing? Like, I mean,
yeah.
like, wouldn't it sense like that sense of urgency that you really did miss it?
No, yeah. so high stick, right? Perfect example, right? High stick.
Yeah.
In a perfect situation, either I see it directly with my eyes. And like I yeah. said, you know, the stick's kind of within the realm of the crossbar, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's batted out of the air or it's deflected. So mm-hmm. ideally, one, if I'm not sure, but like if I'm sure, I'm confident. I'm hard point, right? Hard point, yeah. right at the net, confident, right? You make that sell, right? You're in position. If I'm not confident, say it's a stick in front, it's a point shot, gets redirected, right? Ideally, I call my partners because we're a team. And sometimes you see that, right? Referee puts his arms up, calls his partner in. Okay, what do you see there? What do you see there? And coaches hate this, right? Because you think you're making a decision. Like, okay, they're just like, okay, what are they talking about? Like, are yeah. they going to give it to us or not? Like, you know, we have 100%. All the power. But in the you, we want to make the right. You have to remember, we always want to make the right call. We want to avoid
for sure.
you saying that was a high stick, right?
Yeah.
And remember, when you say it was a high stick, the other coach is saying the opposite. It wasn't a high
yeah.
stick. So anyway, so. Ideally, like the step is either I'm in position, I see it with my eyes, my own eyes, I call it, and I'm confident in my call, right? I go over, yeah, I was at home base in position, right? I was 6 feet away from the puck, and I'm sorry that you thought it was a high stick. The stick was under the crossbar, deflected off the stick. I have a goal, right? You're still upset, but I told you enough in a short, concise manner without like getting to a pissing match. I was yeah. in position. I was 10 feet away from the puck without being rude also. You know, like that's for very sure. important because I'm sure you've had coach refs that kind of give you the gears and you're like, whoa.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, like, I like to come over and say, listen, I was like, and that's what I have. I always say, and that's what I saw. Because right. then it's not like that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I saw. Like, that is what I saw. And then if in the other situation where I confer with my partners and then I come over and I say, yeah, listen, I normally would say, I had a goal that I wanted to confirm with my partners, and my partners both had a goal. I'm never going to say, oh, yeah, G said his goal, Puffy said it's no goal. I'm never going to do that. Yeah.
Right.
But I'll just say my partner said it was a goal also, so I have a good goal.
Yeah. Right? So, Puffy, you got to relax a bit.
No, but it's very important. I'm sure you know if every coach talks to you with those words, right?
Yeah.
It's very different to like, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, like, or just dismissing you, right? And then you're even more heated. So it's also yeah. on us too. Like obviously the coaches are losing their crap, but like I could diffuse the situation a lot by being respectful. And I always say, like we always say, being concise is very, very important. only give them the facts. We're never supposed to like give opinions or like, you don't know what you're talking. Like never, ever. I don't even like address the coach in that manner. Yeah. I'll be like, hey coach, sorry coach. This is what I saw. I'm sorry that you don't like, I'm sorry that you saw something else. I'm not going into like, oh yeah, from that angle, I can see how you saw that or no way. Cause then you're admitting some sort of guilt, but like also when you make the call, right, you want to be confident, like the way you're skating, the way I come over to you. If I kind of like, oh, do one of these kind of, you know, if I'm going right to you, okay, I know you're giving, I'm gonna tell you what it is right now. Or I'll give you like, okay, I'm coming, you know? And I'm like, it's probably subconscious in all our bodies, right? They're like, oh wait, this ref means business. He called it, came over, told me. And a lot, 9 times out of 10, that coach is going to go, he's going to kind of like do one of these, but that's it. It doesn't continue after that, right? So no goal. It's always no goal.
It's always no goal.
When you want it, it's no goal. When the other team wants it, it's a goal, right?
That's funny.
Well, now, well, my tell is if I know we shouldn't have got the goal, but they've called it a goal, if it gets changed, I won't go nuts.
But like, how I will often accept it. How often do goals get changed?
It has happened probably 2 or 3 times where it was called a goal. Probably in our four or five seasons doing it. And where it's called a goal, and then they'll talk, the refs talk, and then they'll come back and they'll reverse the call.
Do you think when they talk, you kind of more accepting of it?
Yeah, and especially if I like
favor or not, whether you're
like especially if it went in our favor, but I know it was the wrong call, or I thought was the wrong call.
Let's say you think it's a right, like you want a goal. I call a goal. I talk to my partners, and then I wave off the goal. Are you going to be?
Thought it was a goal. Then I would be heated. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be heated, right?
And I'd be heated, yeah.
But see, 9 times out of 10.
What are they seeing?
In a three-ref system, right, in the end, like, we're a team, but I'm the boss or whoever's, like, you know, like, there is, it's my game. Right, so a lot, if I signal, like, both my partners have to come in hot and say, Abu, there's no way that went in. Like, Abu, what are you on? You forgot your glasses in the room. Like, they have to come in hot and say, whoa, you completely botched that call. So to change like a good goal to a like no goal after I point and signal, it would be that's warranted. And if I'm going over there to you to talk to you there, I'm taking my lickings, right? Because I'm like, hey, listen, I pointed a goal. I know you thought it was a goal. I thought it was a goal too. Both my partners. Like, it's kind of a lose-lose, right?
Yeah.
Because I signaled, right? Ideally, in those situations, you don't signal and take it back. As long as and then in the end, if you trust your partner, like I said, we're a team. I trust my partners that when the video comes in on Live Barn or whatnot, like if that's the one goal differential, you didn't make the playoffs, and it comes in on Live Barn, I could say, I called it. I thought it was a goal. And I trust my partner. I'm doing everything in my power, right? Like, I did my due diligence, and then in the end, we don't get to see the replay, right? And that's the biggest problem sometimes, right? Like, I've seen parents like on Live Barn, in front of me, right? Like in the stand, right? Like you see, like a controversial call. I'm aligned. We're kind of just hanging out. Mm-hmm. And like I've seen coaches open up Live Mark.
I haven't done that yet, Abu.
The shot. This is you're talking Puffy's language here a bit. I think
I'm sure people have, and I'm like, okay, but like that doesn't matter to me. Like I'm a human.
Yeah.
Like I made that error. Like as long as no one's getting stretchered off, no one's had broken bones. It's one goal. Like I believe that I'm doing my best every night I go out there.
Right.
And I also like the attitude. I'm here so that the game goes on smoothly. Everyone has fun. Everyone goes home in one piece. Like, I don't want to be anyone upset at me. I don't want to be upset at anyone.
Yes. 100%.
So to sum it all up, Puffy, tone it down.
Good.
It's a playoff, Sabu. It's a playoff.
It's a playoff. Oh yeah. We notice when it's playoff. Even if we don't know, we get to game one of the playoffs.
Oh, it must be playoffs.
What's going on here, right?
Yeah, you can feel it. Now coming off the rink a bit, I know in our email exchange before we did this interview, you shared that you're part of a bunch of organizations, Scarborough Muslim Ball Hockey Association, the First Shift Learn to Play program, as well as the Markham and Lawrence Community United. Can you share a little bit about what you do off the ice and maybe how that's all related to what you're doing on the ice as well?
Yeah, so it goes like kind of all the way back to my father. My grandfather and my father, well, my grandfather came to Canada in 72, and my dad came to Canada in 76 with my dad and my grandma and siblings, and he grew up hockey fans because I guess at the time nobody cared about any other sports in Canada. So kind of grew up, everyone around him was a hockey fan. He was a Habs fan, Habs were kind of in their heyday. And he came out, he was 9, so he never played organized hockey. Also wasn't attainable really at that age, right? Where immigrant family, you know, you're not really playing hockey. It's not the most welcoming sport. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But then when I was younger, growing up, like I was on skates, 3-4 years old, going to like City of Toronto skating lessons, sign up for hockey right at like 4 or 5, whatever. And I played hockey my whole life, right? And my dad made sure, my dad was into hockey, took me to the games, you know, he was on the bench opening the doors and whatnot. And then around the time I was in grade 4, so this was in 2004, I was in grade 4, 2004, my dad started a ball hockey league. At the time, I didn't think any, my dad was the president of our local mosque, and he was a younger immigrant, like I guess he was 9 when he came. So he was old enough to relate to his parents' generation who came in their 30s or 40s, but he also was one of the first to get like a Canadian education. Where he wasn't old enough, where he didn't come in college. You know, he kind of got over the ESL hump in maybe grade 9, 10, and kind of went through college and whatnot. So he was a little more in tune to both sides of the equation, as in the new immigrants and like the kind of second generation. So he started a ball hockey league through our mosque because a lot of people in our community would play ball hockey. It was like a huge thing. I live in a very predominantly like Muslim neighborhood in Scarborough, and everyone played ball hockey. Like every day of the week after school, we play ball hockey in the park. So he started a league himself, the Scarborough Muslim Ball Hockey Association. And basically it was for all the kids in our community who didn't play ice hockey, which at the time I didn't realize was everyone but me and like 4 other people.
Right.
Yeah.
But these were all my best friends. So I had like hockey friends from the rink, and then I had like my community friends who I went to mosque class with, who I went to like weddings and parties and dinner parties and everything. We were all like always together. Our families were friends, but not, nobody played ice hockey but me.
Right.
Me, the guy across the street from me, was another family friend, and like 2 other people. I could literally count on my finger. So we started this league in 2004, and it just kind of kept steamrolling and, you know, gained momentum. And like when we started the league, we played at the school park, like the playground, like next to the park, kind of the asphalt area, where the students would like line up to go into their classrooms. And we would have all the goalie gear and the nets at my house. And we had like an old Nissan Quest, and we would put the nets on top of the, like on top of the, like the, nice. The roof. And we would just like, my dad would like put your hand out one window. My brother would be putting his hand out the other window.
Old school.
And we would drive to the park, like around the corner from us. And everyone would just walk there, you know, like no parents, just like everyone would just like ride their bikes here, throw their bike on the grass. And like, so we had teams, and we had like, and all the older kids in our neighborhood were like coach. And like, very, like nobody really was like, not, there was nothing professional or organized about it besides the fact that we had teams, nets, and jerseys. Everything else was kind of all grassroots, you know. So everyone would pick up garbage at the end of the game, and you know, like, like one of my friend's dad worked at Country Style, and he would just bring a box of day old leftovers, and put it on the ground. We'd go fight for them. Like that's what this league was. And then like over time, it kind of expanded, like, you know, like more and more kids kept coming, and then we had like offshoot branches that, like other mosques that kind of like got ideas from my dad and kind of started like their own leagues, and then we started doing tournaments with the other like mosque leagues and whatnot, and the huge Muslim ball hockey tournament that has a youth division now because of our leagues. And then like my dad passed in 2021, and me and my brother, we've always been involved as voluntolds, I like to say.
Right.
You know, I was always coaching, playing, like I was literally like 13 coaching the 9-year-old, playing with the 16-year-old kind of thing.
Perfect.
And my brother, same thing, right? My dad would wake us up whatever time, and I'd be like, no, I don't want to go. And like, yeah, okay. And I go, and you know, like taking kids home in my dad's van because they cut their face open or whatnot. Like, hey, go take this kid home quick. I'm like, okay.
Right.
So, and then now me and my brother and Imran and Riyadh, 2 other guys, we kind of run the league. We took it over now, and it's expanded. We have like 250 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. We still play the schoolyard, but the city of Toronto built us like a asphalt hockey court. It's kind of like a basketball court. Like it's completely rounded, and it's got fences and benches, but it's asphalt. And now we play there, and we have like a girls division. We have like our first or second, like we have some second generation players, like players who played and their kids play now.
Oh wow!
And awesome. it's still at our playground. It's still at the same park.
That's awesome.
Dad went to school there. I went to school there. My son goes to school there now. So it's like our community organization. And then to stem that, so Mark Monroe's Community United is like community youth group that kind of does, we do like seniors programs and all sorts of stuff. But it's the same people that kind of run the league. And then what happened a couple of years ago, I want to say 2019, the GGHL hosted this summit called the Transition Game. I don't know if you guys know about this.
No, I don't.
No. Yeah, they had this big summit 2019. It's funny. Kyle Dubas was there, and this was the day before they went to Vegas. I don't know why I remember this so vividly. The Leafs were playing in Vegas the next day or something like that, and they lost, and then Mike Babcock got fired the next day. So I heard him talk. I'm like, the Saturday, the Sunday, they lost Mike Babcock. So I just remember this was around that time, like winter 2019, and they had all these big, the who's who of like EEI and hockey. So they had Kimberly Davis, who's with the NHL, and like they had basically all these game changing sport and hockey. It was a great event. And I kind of got invited because Peter Curtis at the GTHL kind of knows that I'm doing this ball hockey league with my dad. And he's like, yeah, why don't you come? And I kind of went, I met some people, and then I got put onto this like task force about like EDI and hockey and growing hockey through community. And then the pandemic hit, kind of nothing happened. And I'd say 2021, I got a call from a guy on the GTHL board, Ken Wolf. And he calls me and he's like, Boo, like, I want you to be on this task force about like community and hockey. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm not going to say no. I'm already doing it anyways, right? Kind of thing. And I was talking to him. We were talking. There's about six of us in this task force talking about like, okay, we need to get more kids into hockey. What are like programs, whatnot? And there's Stephanie from the office is like, oh, this is like first shift program, which is really good that, you know, Minor Hockey Association could sign up with. And for $300, Bauer supplies all the gear and the Minor Hockey Association would have to provide 6 weeks of training. And that would be an ice time and coaches and all that, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool deal. Like, I got 250 kids that are all, like, huge hockey fans that don't play ice hockey.
Right.
I would say at this point, it went from four players to, like, 20 players out of 250, right? So they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I have 250 players that if I do this program somehow, I could get them all into hockey. Now, the first shift program generally has an intake of 30 players per season.
Yeah.
Per 6 week block. And I'm like, okay, how do we make this work? So because I refereed and played with the Ice Raiders, I called, I'm the VP George at the Ice Raiders. I played hockey with his son and I know the guys at the rink there. So I called him and I said, hey, George, this program first. Oh yeah, we've done it before in the past. Yeah. He goes, you know, actually what happens, a lot of people just sign up for it and take the gear and they just go back to wherever they're, like whatever league they're in. So say you sign up, like Scarborough Ice Raiders have a first shift sign up, and then on the website it would say Bauer first shift locations. It'll say Scarborough, Collingwood, Sarnia, Toronto, Westwood, whatever. And then kids from wherever would just sign up for this program to get the gear for $300. And then they would just go back and enroll back in like Leaside or EastEnders or whatever. They just go back to their respective.
Yeah.
But they were saying that the problem with this program a lot of times is it's hockey parents that are already playing, that know of this program and use it for like a head start when they're already in. So it's kind of one of those. So I said, no, George, like I got a lot of people that are going to join that are first time people. They're Scarborough, like 40, 50 years of Scarborough. Like they'll come back and they'll join your house league. I almost guarantee it. Like we'll have like a 60, 70% retention rate. They're like, no way. I'm like, no, trust me. So the link went live and sold out. And same thing, right? I sent everyone a message in our like different WhatsApp group and said, okay, here's the deal. Like, billing's going live tomorrow. Please sign up, right? And they signed up. It went full. They all went on the wait list. And then we're on the wait list. And I said, all these kids are from community. They're all on the wait list. I said, we got to get them in. So we talked to Bauer. And I said, okay, I have 140 kids here. And they're all waitlisted. I said, can we get them all in? Bauer's like, okay, sure. Bauer and GTA,
that's cool.
Scott Oakman kind of sent an email. And they said, okay, we'll get them all. So we had 140 kids. This was last year.
That's amazing.
And out of that 140 kids, the Ice Ridge, what they did on their end is like, okay, Abu, we'll give you not 6 weeks, the whole season of ice time.
Oh, wow.
So we had like 30 kids on the ice per session, 30, 30, 30, 30. We had 4 hours every week for 6 weeks. And then after the 6 weeks, we had a assessment. And we graduated, I think, 30 or 40 of them into the house league for free.
That's great. That's amazing. Our
free introduction to the House League. And then we kept with the other one for the whole season. And then at the end of the year, we said, okay, like, here's our big pitch, right? You're talking about ads. This was the ad. Hey, come back. Come join the Ice Raiders, you know?
That's awesome.
You know, and then everyone's calling me and they're speaking to me in my language. And they're like, ooh, like, is this a good deal? Like, what's going on? I said, yeah, this is the deal. This is what you want. This is what everyone wants. You know, I said, you get a free year of hockey. We suckered you in, and now you come back. It's the most affordable house league in all of Canada. Like, they want a word for this, right? And so the next year, we ended up getting 76 players to come back from the year before. So an average house league in Canada has, like, about 300 to 500 players.
Yeah.
That would be over like, a 20% increase for most house leagues. Now, the Icehawks house league, I think they're at 550, but even for them, they had 70 new players, like new individual registrations. That and then this year we have another first shift program. I have 86 players this year.
Oh, and that's a lot amazing. Of his
siblings. So we've made new hockey families, right?
Yeah.
So someone's brother came last year. They did the house league. We had kids playing select this year that started last year who are playing like U11 select.
That's awesome. Right? Yeah.
So
good for you. That's amazing. That's really
on that program. I've been doing that program for 2 years now. And so every Saturday I'm at the rink there and it's a great. So this year I talked to Bauer and Bauer gave us like a private link to share with my community just so that didn't all
get for Bauer. That's really great.
Bauer.
Shout out to Bauer on this one for sure. Along with the work you're doing.
Yeah. I should shout out Jonathan Blaze and Rob Whiten. They're the guys who come oversee first shift, and through that, the NHL reached out to me, and last year they brought the Stanley Cup to our mosque.
Oh, really?
They cut through this first shift, and they gave me a bunch of tickets to give out to the players. So, I would say last, like March or February, they brought the Stanley Cup to the mosque at Midland Lawrence in Scarborough.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, nice. So it's great. Like we have all these new.
Oh, what great support! That's great. Yeah, good for you. That's really nice to hear how much you're involved.
East Senator or Ted Reef Thunder, because whatever they ask.
They're going to the Ice Raiders. They're going to the Ice Raiders.
Ice Raiders.
Yeah.
So funny.
Cool. Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming on. It was really interesting to hear everything you talk about being a ref and all the stuff you're in the community. Now, I know you said you've listened to the pod since we've asked you to be on, so you know our last question, which is always, you know, what song do you have, a pump up song you use? Like, you're going to ref a huge game. It's a final, like AAA U16 final. You got to get yourself ready for the game. What are you putting on the headphones? What are you listening to?
So obviously, you know, I like to talk a lot. If you haven't noticed. I have a roundabout answer for this because I always laugh at refs who get pumped up for games and listen to music or whatnot. And like, I've done the OHL Cup, I think three, four years now, which is kind of like the premier digital tournament. And I reffed it and lined it. And you see guys, they got the headphones on, they're locked in. They almost look like they're in the NHL, like, you know, pre-game warm-up. They're stretching. And I'm kind of just like hanging out. Like, I'm not a big music guy. I used to be. I'm a big podcast guy. Like, I don't mean to, like, you know, pump your own tires. But I'm a huge podcast guy. I listen to so many podcasts. I have like a list of 4 daily podcasts I listen to. But if I were to, like, I guess maybe 5, 6 years ago, if I were to listen to a pop up song, highly, highly controversial, it would be my favorite song. It's Kanye West, Homecoming.
Yeah, well, that's a great song.
It's a great song, but
I know Kanye is a little polarizing for some people. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but this was before all the absolute craziness. This is when he was like cool crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, not
crazy, right? Yeah. So like that would be my, like, it's not really a pump up song, but I would say it's my favorite song.
It's good.
I've never been one to big pump up music before the game or whatnot. So
what about a podcast? You got a podcast you could throw our way that you like?
Right now I listen to The Bridge with Peter Mansbridge.
I'm gonna
sound like a 7-year-old here. I listen to The Big Story by Jordan Heath Rawlings, which is I think it's CTV Global, I don't know. And then The Front Burner, which is CBC's daily podcast.
Yeah.
And then the daily New York Times daily podcast. So those are like my
those are your four that you're listening to every day. Yeah, some CBC and then the daily New York Times.
So you're very informed.
I like to be very informed. I don't know. I just kind of picked it up over, like, I also listen to the Spit and Chicklets podcast, which is way very the good. Other side, right? Like,
yeah.
If you look about, and then Kill Tony. Do you guys know what Kill Tony is?
No.
Okay. I won't tell you. It's just a stand-up
podcast. Okay, we'll check it out. Kill Tony.
Super, super, like, kind of R-rated. Got the stand-up it. Show. It's an unfiltered stand-up okay. show that happened at Joe Rogan's Comedy Club. So okay. that should tell you enough about it.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got awesome. It.
It's a fun podcast, and yeah, that's those are my regulars.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining the pod. Puffy, anything else you have for Boo?
No, well, hopefully our paths cross in the playoffs and all. I'll try to tone it down.
I won't be refereeing for the next 4 weeks. I kind of booked off for Ramadan. But in the past, I have refereed in Ramadan. Like, actually, last year, the OHL Cup, I refereed in Ramadan. So I try not to, just because it's obviously much harder. But
yeah, it's a lot
maybe harder. If you guys make it to the city finals, what is that? That's end of April? Mid-April?
Yeah, end of April usually. Yeah, we have a chance.
Like, how did you guys do in the season?
Well, the older guys, they finished second. The younger guys, we finished ninth. But we're hot now. We're coming in hot now. We're playing better.
Oh, do you like the new round-robin format?
I do for the younger ages. I like the fact that all the teams make the playoffs. I mean, we wouldn't have made it otherwise. So I do like that format. And you're also guaranteed more games because when it's a series, it can go quick. I like this better. I was never a huge Clancy guy.
See, my kids aren't playing yet. Well, my son's he's a future ice skater. He's like a learn to play. But I thought of the when I refereed the Clancy. I love the Clancy. I loved how intense the game, especially for teams you see all the time. So if I saw you all the time, East Ender, I'd be like, oh my god, this team's not that good or whatever. And I know that, and I see this Ted Reeve team who's also not that good, and they're playing this really intense game, which means a lot more. So I didn't mind the Clancy.
But I was on a team that planned for the Clancy. We always joke about that on this podcast that I joined a team. We knew from the get-go we were playing the Clancy, and we always planned for the Clancy.
But did you guys really enjoy the Clancy? Those, like,
sure, it was all we knew, if I'm being honest with you. Now that I've had a dose of a team that makes the playoffs, I actually like playoffs better than the Clancy. But
No. The playoffs is one thing, but like you said, going in as an eighth seed, getting whooped.
Yeah, five games. No, we knew we were getting beat back in the day, but anyway. Well, again, yeah, really appreciate you coming on the pod. It's been a great conversation. I can't believe we covered so much, and it just flew by, to be honest with you. It was really great hearing all about it. I think Puffy's learned a little bit on how to behave on the bench, actually.
Yeah, be civil.
Yeah, good. But it was really great connecting with you, and a huge appreciation for all you do on the ice and off the ice, actually, as a community member here. And I just want to say thank you for that. That was really great. No worries. It's been great meeting you. So thanks for joining the pod.
You too.
Wow, that was fantastic. Probably our longest interview.
Yes.
But it was... nice for me. Once I saw Abu was going to give us all the goods, I was like, I got to get all the tricks of the trade. I was trying to how to talk to referees. I was trying to learn. I mean, you can never stop learning, GCAT.
You can never stop. Right? I feel like you're looking for a moment where he would be like, yeah, you know what, Buff? Going off the rails is going to work only in this time. So you knew, because I know you want to kind of just find that moment. But every time you tried to push him towards something, he was just high road man. No, he was an honest man. High road.
Well, obviously, I'm doing it wrong.
No, you're doing it
wrong. I got to get there.
You're an honest man too.
I love that he big podcast guy.
Big podcast.
We've entered his rotation now, so that's good for us.
Yeah, that is good for us. So I think maybe a little switch up from the songs. Do you have a favorite podcast?
I do. Right now, the podcast that I'm listening to that I think everyone should listen to is the Rubber Boots podcast with James and Sethi.
Yeah. You took mine.
New episodes most weeks. We don't always hit every week, but we do come out. We do come up with sweets.
You took mine because that was what I was going to say, because I'm kind of a new listener, actually. Well, like, I've listened to a few over the years, but I would say ever since we've been doing this, I've been listening to the Rubber Boots a lot, like every week now or every other week whenever it's been out. So that was going to be mine. So I have to think of something else now. That's okay. I'm going to think of the one that I really enjoy, actually. It's a radio show. It's Alan Cross, The History of New Music. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, but they've turned all of his episodes into podcasts. And so that for me is my podcast of today's episode, where we're not doing music. We're going to do podcasts. I've picked a podcast about music. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. That's surprise face.
Yeah, exactly.
Your next podcast venture is going to be outstanding. The one where you go to famous venues or something.
Yes. Well, my next one in line is actually the Road to the A. Actually,
the Road to the A
got an A on his jersey. We're gonna do a 19-part series on my Road to the A.
That's gonna be amazing.
Yeah. But anyway, with that, I know this one's run long, so we're going to run off and give everyone some time back. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Abu, for coming on to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Everyone listen to us on Spotify, Apple, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, we're there. If we're not, let us know. We appreciate it. So review, subscribe, like, and share. And thanks again for listening. Puff, anything else for anybody?
Well, if you see Abu at the rink, make sure you take it easy on him. He's straight as an arrow. He's not making any. Yeah, say hi and make sure you're not yelling at him too loud.
There you go. Stoff, thanks so much for doing this. Everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you later.